And we are live. What's going on, folks? Welcome to episode 3 of the Nuclear Golf Podcast. My name is John. I'm the co-owner of Nuclear Golf and TW Legion. And I'm joined tonight by my co-hosts. We've got Mike Carbone, Tim Bowman, and Hutch Bennett. We got a lot to get into tonight, fellas. But first, today's show is brought to you by Swingzy. Are you looking to improve your slice and prevent topping? I know I am. This patented training aid provides golfers with instant feedback on every swing rotation. With Swingzy, you'll learn how to hit down on the ball and make better, more consistent strikes. All you have to do is insert the Swingzy into the ground about a quarter inch from the top of your club, place the ball directly under the bar, and then make your swing without hitting the bar. It's that easy. Swingzy will teach you how to improve your swing, resulting in cleaner contact and fewer miss hits. The best part is that it works with both irons and woods, and it won't ever damage your clubs since it's made of nylon material. Each order includes 3 Swingzy devices, as well as a rubber mount to use at Topgolf or on range mats. Get your Swingzy today at swingzy.com and begin your journey to better golf.
Need that.
Need that, fellas.
Absolutely.
Need it.
We got a quick video of it as well. Shall we? Huge thanks to Swingzy for sponsoring this episode. And without further ado, fellas, let's get into it. We've got a ton of topics tonight. Obviously, Minwoo Lee got his first PGA Tour victory yesterday at the Houston Open. Rory McIlroy actually really charged up the leaderboard over the weekend. But after his round, he said he's dealing with an elbow issue as he heads into Augusta. So we'll see what's up with that. Some crazy, crazy comments from Bubba Watson. I know Tim has an opinion on that one. Essentially, he said Scottie Scheffler's 2024 season was better than Tiger's 2000 season. We'll get into that. I'm sure it'll be fun. And then we're actually going to welcome in Ryan from JT Legion. You may be familiar with his account to discuss the SoFi Cup win for Atlanta Drive at the TGL finale. We're also going to get into some of the expectations for JT for this season, how he's going to perform in the majors. And then Jim Nance is actually teasing a retirement plan. So we'll get into that, obviously. And then some Augusta field updates. There's a Live Duels event that's going to be coming up this week with some creators at the Trump Doral course in Miami. And finally, we have our viral video of the week. So let's get into discussing the Houston Open over the weekend. Tim, did you have a chance to watch the action on Sunday?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it on the back nine. It was, it was awesome. Again, another good tournament where looked like a guy was going to pull away for a bit and then a mistake almost cost him the tournament, but he was able to, you know, recover the last couple holes and make a few pars to take the victory by one. Really happy for him. First win. That's awesome. He played really, 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 really well. He putted lights out for most of the tournament. Was really happy to see Gary Woodland up there too. Man, what a story that was. You know, 18 months removed from brain surgery and the guy's already, you know, playing lights out golf. So that was awesome. And of course, Scotty was up there trying to do his thing.
He was close, yeah. Too. I mean, he had one short missed putt, but then on 18 just looked like I don't know what it was. I don't know how he missed by that much. It's Scottie Scheffler, but he was close. I thought we were going to a playoff for sure, especially on 16 when Minwoo just blew that thing way right. Wasn't ever even close. I thought, oh, God, I hope the moment isn't too big for him right here. But he held on, and what do they say? They say let him cook.
Let him cook.
Yeah.
Mike, did you have a chance to watch too?
I sure did. Yeah, I got to watch most of the Sunday coverage and some of Saturday as well. But you know, first, congratulations to Minwoo. He's a great ambassador for the game of golf. You know, he's very active on social media, which I think is great for the brand. We need more of that on the PGA Tour. You know, and he's just a really fun player to watch. You know, he really hits it out there. He doesn't look like a guy that, you know, he's not at the Shambo build or anything like that. And, you know, he's third on tour in driving distance. I think he's 316 off the tee, averages 125 miles an hour of clubhead speed. And he's phenomenal with his wedge and putter. So, I mean, that's the three most important clubs in the bag, and he's great at all three. So I think we're going to see a lot more of him to come this year.
Yeah, Minwoo ended up finishing the week at 20 under par, shot 3 under on Sunday. It was a one-shot win for him, obviously, over Scheffler and Woodland. And like you kind of said, Mike, Minwoo Lee has really emerged over the years as one of these guys that people like to watch. He's got some flair to him. He's not a boring guy. He gets into it. He celebrates. He has emotion. And people like enjoy that, right, when they're watching golf. So that's something that we need to see more of from more guys, I think, just spice up the tour a little bit more. You know, obviously, Minwoo Lee's from Australia. He had that crazy funny moment on 18 there when he did the aim point over his 8-inch
putt. That was funny.
Hilarious. Yeah.
I mean, that's an example. That's prime example right there of kind of the flair that Minwoo Lee has, right? Obviously, this is his first PGA Tour win, but he does have 3 European Tour wins. He's won twice in Australia, and he has an Asian Tour win as well. He's had some top 25 finishes in the majors as well. 2022 and 2023, he finished T14 at the Masters in 22. He was T18 at the PGA in 23. He was T5 at the US Open. That's actually his best major finish ever in 2023 at the US Open. And then T21 at the 2022 Open Championship. And it's just great to see him finally get that win. He definitely deserved it. I'm super happy for him. And then Gary Woodland also, just an incredible story as well. Coming off brain surgery and everything that he's gone through to get back to this point. You know, who knows? Probably didn't even know if he was going to play golf again, right? It's just such a unfortunate situation. You guys saw his approach into 18 yesterday. What a
stuffed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was going on with Minwoo and Toasty? Like, I know that eighth hole took what, 31 minutes for a ruling, or 12 minutes for the ruling?
Yeah, and then, 12 minutes to take that drop.
And then was he delaying on purpose the rest of the round? Or I didn't quite
catch what Bones said. I don't know. I don't know. It seemed to me like maybe just a reason to add a little drama to it, but I don't. It's hard for us, right? Because we're just getting the TV coverage. Like, they cut to them when they're hitting. So we don't get to see, you know, is he purposely slow playing? How long is he taking more than normal? Blah, blah, blah. We don't get to see any of that. So I guess if the guy following the group says it, I guess maybe so. Who knows? I would be very curious if there was a camera shot. And I don't know if there was or not, because I had to turn it off pretty much as soon as it ended. But I'd be very curious to see if there's a camera shot of Toasty, like, while Minwoo was doing the aim point on the 8-inch putt. I would be very curious to see his facial expression, right? Like, you could tell then if he was pissed off about it or not.
Yeah, Toasty, you know, it was all over the internet yesterday and today, actually, because he actually responded to Bones. You know, Bones was giving him shit on the broadcast about it, obviously, right? He said, Toasty went on Twitter today and said, Bones talking shit for the fans, saying I'm walking 50 yards behind and trying to slow my playing partner. The part you don't see is that I used the restroom and prepared myself a drink. That's what he said. Bones' initial comments was, I don't know what's going on, but Toasty is playing at his own pace. At times it's normal, at times it's glacially slow. But he's decided on this particular hole to really take his time, and he's holding up play in this last group. So Bones really laid into him on the broadcast. Damn. And obviously Toasty took issue with that and responded today. So, I mean, this guy's just kind of emerging, right?
I don't think Bones will be coming out of retirement to caddy for him anytime soon.
No. Doesn't seem that way for sure.
He won't be getting a spot start, that's for sure.
We got a rivalry between an announcer and a golfer.
That's fun. And One story that emerged over the weekend was obviously Scottie Scheffler, who played really well. He's still looking for his first victory of the 2025 season, obviously, and he's in his home state of Texas over the weekend, right? So he was probably hoping that he could get it done. Mike, I know you're a Texas native there. Were you pulling for Scheffler yesterday? Well,
absolutely. I mean, he was the guy I picked at the beginning of the week too, so I had that as well. You know, Scottie's just an easy guy to root for. I mean, you know, just a family man, down to earth. I mean, he's the kind of guy that you would want to drink a beer with, go out, have a burger with. He's just...
He's a criminal.
Yeah, get arrested with.
Yeah, he's just a great guy. I can't say enough good about him. Every story I've heard out of him at Dallas National, I know multiple caddies down there, and they just say he's just an incredible person, and you know, can't say enough good about the guy. And on top of that, he's a pretty dang good golfer too, if I must add.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's all right. He's just heading back to Augusta here. Yeah,
guys, I was hoping Gary would win. I mean, man, he was great too, and that's he's still so young though. Woodland, I think, would have been a better story. Coming back. I mean, that brain thing was so serious, and it's taken him a little while, as we're seeing now, to kind of get his game back together. But I know that he had the lesion on the part of the brain that controls like fear and anxiety. So that's, it would have been a great story to see him win. He probably will win again, but I would have liked to have seen it yesterday.
Yeah, no, it would have been an incredible story, obviously, if Gary could have gotten it done yesterday. But I mean, I'm sure he's, you know, just kind of stepping back into the competition, and I'm sure he's going to get it done at some point here soon. Let's move on, fellas, to the Rory McIlroy story. So he finished T5 over the weekend, and then after his round, he made some comments about that he's dealing with an elbow issue. He said, my right elbow has been bothering me a little bit, and that he's going to be getting some treatment on it going into Augusta. He also made some comments. He said, I've got my coach, Michael Bannon, coming in tomorrow. We'll do some work and just make sure that everything's in good shape for a week's time. So those are obviously some interesting comments from Rory. Another interesting thing is that Rory actually flew this morning directly from Houston to Augusta again for the second time in like 5 days. On his way from Florida over to Houston, he stopped in Augusta, played practice rounds at Augusta National before the tournament over like last week. And then now today he's back at Augusta just a day after making the comments about the elbow being an issue. Are you guys concerned about this, or is this just Rory kind of, you know, taking the pressure off a little bit, or what do you think's going on here?
I thought it was that, John. I thought, and Danny Rapp put a tweet out about it, and I thought it made a whole lot of sense. He said, I'm fully convinced Rory said his elbow's bothering him to take some of the pressure off at Augusta. He couldn't have asked for a better lead-in, two wins in elevated events, a top five coming in, but not a win. So the attention isn't all on him. It's brilliant to throw him off the scent. Every year, and it's probably going to be this way for as long as he's at his peak, every year he's going to be the story coming into Augusta to see if he can get the Grand Slam, all that stuff. And he's tried it 75 different ways leading into the tournament to see what's going to work, what may not work. And it's not really come together for him yet. But I think in this case, and this is coming from somebody who's had terrible elbow problems, I don't think it's that serious, because if it was, he wouldn't be playing golf. He certainly wouldn't be at Augusta today.
Yeah, that's why I don't even understand why say anything about it. I mean, you're just drawing more. You already got all the attention coming to you. It's not going to put anybody off. It's going to have the media asking more questions. They're just going to be like, oh, your elbow. Oh, okay. What's wrong with your elbow? When did you hurt it? How long has it been hurting? And it might not take it. It might be a different question than, hey, are you going to get it done and win? But I mean, it's still
It's a better question than, why do you suck at Augusta?
It's still
You know what I'm saying? Like, I really just don't think there's anything to it. And I don't have a problem with him saying it. He could have discomfort, golfer's elbow, whatever. honesty is not a bad thing. I mean, I know we all come from the school of Tiger who just says, I'm fine. I'm fine. I've got a broken leg and a torn ACL, but I'm fine. You'll find that out in 3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Right. Like exactly. We come from that school, but I don't have a problem with him being honest about it, especially if it's bothering him a little bit.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he shows up with one of those forearm braces like that, Miguel Angel Jimenez wears, or, you know, some of the older guys you see at the golf course, you know, you know what I'm talking about, but you know, Rory's got better every single day this week. So whatever it is, it can't be too bad. He went 70, 66, 65, 64 consecutively. So, I mean, whatever it is, you know, it, maybe it's benign, but you know, I remember in 2012 at the Honda Classic, he put something out and he withdrew from that tournament because he said his molar was hurting. And really, he was just sucking it up. Like, he shot in the high 70s or something of that nature and just pulled the plug.
Oh, he got roasted for that too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he got grilled. And he came clean about it. He was like, yeah, you know, it was a stupid excuse. And, you know,
Didn't he shoot like 41 on the front nine of the second day or something?
It was bad. Yeah. It was really bad. Yeah. He did not have his game. That was when he was making that transition to Nike clubs. I don't know if y'all remember that. That was that year. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely an interesting time in his career because at that point, you know, he was at the top of golf and he was the undisputed number one player in the world. And everybody thought that, you know, he had taken over the throne from Tiger for good.
Not for long.
Wasn't the case. Wasn't the case, but it's another story. But yeah, I'd be interesting to see, you know, what he shows up with and what he looks like. I'm sure it's probably just take a little pressure off him and, you know, limit the expectations because, you know, like John alluded to, you know, he couldn't have had a perfect entryway into the Masters. You know, he's won multiple tournaments. You know, he just came off that course in Houston, that's a perfect place to really prepare for Augusta. You can hit a lot of the shots that you hit at Augusta. So, you know, he played fairly well, and, you know, I fully expect him to be there on Sunday.
Yeah, Rory's had quite a year already. First at Pebble Beach, and then he was T17 at the Genesis, T15 at the API. He obviously won the Players, and then T5 at Houston Open. So his worst finish so far this year is T17. You know, once again, we're heading into a major championship where Rory McIlroy is discussed as being one of the top two favorites, if not the favorite to win, right? I mean, it's essentially Scheffler and Rory among everyone's picks for a Masters. You know, is it his time to finally get it done at Augusta? It seems like he alternates in terms of his preparation style. Some years he's going to Augusta and playing tons of practice rounds. Other years he said he's trying to take the pressure off and he's just going to go into the week as normal. I mean, in Houston, he referenced the fact the reason that he's doing all the prep now is because he's got a lot of obligations the week of the Masters. He even referred to the par three contest, potentially playing that with the kids, I guess, this year maybe. So it'll be interesting to see if he does participate in that. But again, Rory McIlroy, I'm not too concerned about the elbow personally. Like you guys said, I don't think he'd be at Augusta today if it was that serious. And I mean, he referred to his coach coming in and practicing and all that kind of stuff. So I think this is maybe just a bit of a decoy more than anything. I don't think it's anything too serious. And he had a good weekend as well, right? So if this progressively got worse, I don't think his scores would have been as low as they were.
No. And there's nothing wrong with getting treatment and still practicing. Like it just shows you that it's not anything super serious to take him out of play. He can have aches and pains. I'm sure everybody does. It just doesn't get publicized quite like that just because it's Rory McIlroy and because he said something about it.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, let's get on to this Scottie Scheffler greater than Tiger Woods 2000 season comment, which is just crazy. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. I know Tim did. Bubba Watson was doing an interview with golf.com's Sean Zach. He said, I know Tiger did some stuff in 2000, but Scottie's year, 2024, was the best we've ever seen. Now, this just caused an absolute firestorm online, obviously, because, I mean, Tiger's 2000 season was crazy. 20 starts, 20 top 25s, 17 top 10s, 3 major wins, 4 runner-ups. I mean, most people will think about Tiger in the year 2000 and say that that year will never, ever be matched again. And Bubba's obviously going on there and just saying that that Scheffler's year in 2024 was better than this. And I mean, it's just mind-boggling to think about a player having a season that even rivals Tiger's year. And there's no denying that Scotty had an amazing season. But whether it was actually better than Tiger's, I mean, I think that's up for, I don't know if it's up for debate or not. What do you guys think about this? No.
Yeah, everybody's entitled to opinion, I guess, but this feels like one of those instances where an opinion is wrong. You know, I mean, like you guys said earlier, you know, Tiger had 9 wins. You know, his average score was 67.79. You know, the three majors, and ironically, you know, the three majors Tiger won, that was the one that those are the ones Scotty didn't win, and Scotty's got the one that Tiger didn't get. So, but yeah, I think the only thing that really sticks out to me, there's two things. For one, Scotty won the Players in 24, Tiger didn't. And, you know, obviously Scotty had the chance to win an Olympic gold medal, which I fully believe that Tiger most likely would have won in the year 2000, the golf he was playing. I just, you know, he didn't have the opportunity. And obviously, Bubba Watson going to be biased towards Ted Scott. You know, I think when you win majors with a particular caddy, you know, it's almost like they're like kids with your wife. You know, they have a special place in your heart. And that's the only reason why I could see why Bubba would say something like that, other than to just poke at Tiger a little bit and try to get under his skin. But I fully believe that Tiger doesn't care. Yeah.
He was looking for attention and he got it. It's just a don't. You said that people are entitled to their opinions, but it feels like this one's wrong. This one's 100% wrong. It's 100% wrong. There's nothing about this that's right. I mean, there's so many stats. You heard John mention them all. I don't know if he said the scoring average. Tiger was had a lower scoring average that year. Mm-hmm. Played more events, more wins, more everything. I think the only stat that he was better than him in was putting average, but it was just slightly better. They were both first on tour. So – and we're just leaving out the fact that Tiger won the U.S. Open by 15 shots, the British Open by 8 shots. Like, this, Scotty's not doing that. He's not winning by 15 shots. He's not the only player under par at the U.S. Open. Like, it's silly. I know Tim's got some strong thoughts about Bubba.
You took them all. You read them off right off my list. I mean, that's literally might be the most asinine comment ever made in golf history. I mean, whoa. I can't believe that he would even come close to saying that Scotty's year was better last year. Tiger won 3 majors that year. Scotty won 1. Like Hutch said, Tiger won the U.S. Open by 15 shots. He was the only player under par. Like, Bubba, what are you talking about? The rest of the field was 3 over and worse. Scotty didn't even win the U.S. Open. Scotty didn't win the British Open by 8 shots. Scotty didn't win the NEC Invitational by 11 or any other golf tournament by 11 last year. Like, Tiger's 2000 season was not only one of the best in the history of the sport, but it was the most dominant season. And that's the difference, is Tiger dominated these tournaments. Scotty won golf tournaments. And I'm not saying Scotty's not a great golfer, because he is. But, I mean, Tiger won 9 times in 20 starts. That's a 45% winning percentage. He was runner-up 4 times. He's 17 top fives. Like, 85% of the tournaments he played that year, he finished in the top 5. Like, what? Like, Bubba, did you just read that with your Ray Charles glasses when you were making these comments? It's unbelievable. I mean, I could go on and on with the stats from that year. And the craziest part about this is that the year before, in 1999, Tiger won 8 times in 21 starts, 16 top tens. Like, he dominated 1999. I mean, if you wanted to compare Scotty's year to 1999, that's cool. Like, that's a way more comparable season, because I don't know. I can't remember if Tiger won a major in 99 or not. Might have won the PGA. So that's more comparable. I mean, it just is. It's not even close.
Yeah. Yeah, just, I mean, I agree. I think Tiger's season was better by a mile. I mean, Scotty did have 8 wins, including the Hero World Challenge. I mean, just to go through it, he won the API, he won the Players. Those are obviously 2 major events, like not majors, but significant wins. And then he won the Masters, obviously. That was his 1 major. And then he won the RBC Heritage. He won the Memorial, another signature event there. He won the Travelers. He won the Tour Championship, which is kind of just, I mean, that's kind of what happens when you have a great season, right? You get in position to win. When you've won that many times, you're at the top of the leaderboard going in with the format that they have. And then he won the Hero World Challenge, which you could essentially call a hit and giggle, right? As Tiger would say. And then
it's a hit and giggle unless Tiger wins.
And it's a major.
It's 2011.
It's a high quality event.
Yeah. 2011.
Bubba Watson's like making these comments, and like, I mean, Bubba Watson hasn't been relevant in a very long time, right? I mean, his 2024 performances on LIV Golf were not very good. Like, I'm just,
he got relegated.
If
he wasn't a captain, he wouldn't be playing this year,
right? And his finishes were not very good.
But like, yeah, come on. I think his whole argument though was the level of competition, right? Like, and I get that. There is one counterpoint to be made with the level of competition, because Tiger, like you said, he won 9 times that year. Vijay also won 9 times that year. So you got 2 guys taking up 18 wins of the whole season. So I can see what he's saying about the level of competition, but ultimately everybody tells us it comes down to wins and comes down to majors, and Tiger's got both of those. So I just don't.
Yeah, but I mean, you could say
Bubba's good at getting eyes on Bubba.
The counter argument to what you just said was there was a bunch of top guys playing on LIV last year that didn't play in the tournaments that Scotty won. So, I mean, you know, he might not have won 7 or 8 times. He might have won 4 or 5, which is still a great year, but Scotty wasn't playing against full fields. I mean, just wasn't.
I mean, he was to an extent. Like, when you say a bunch of top guys on LIV, how many are we talking? Like, a handful? And I'm a LIV 10, guy. Listen, I 12, love LIV.
10, I mean, but 10 or 12, that's enough. Who are you talking
about outside of Brooks and Bryson and Rahm and Neiman? Who else are we talking about?
It's golf. Anybody could win.
Cam Smith.
You can't. I mean,
Cam Smith. So, I mean, that's 5 guys, though, right there. Like, you're. And those guys are mostly in the majors, so he's playing against them there too. So it just, to me, I can see where Bubba's coming from, but again, Bubba is and has always been good at getting eyes on Bubba. He's very good at that, and he does it with his whole, I don't want to call it a fake persona. I'm going to call it a fake persona. It's fake, right? To me, it just seems fake, and that's an opinion. I don't think it's wrong, though.
Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to the JT Legion interview. But first, I just want to finish it off with this. So
comments like that will get him on the Ringling circuits.
So Tiger had 9 wins, right, in that 2000 season. So he played 36 rounds. So in 23 of those 36 rounds, he led outright. And 4 other times he shared the lead. 2 wins came in the playoffs. The other 7 were by an average of 6.57 strokes, which is insane. If you think about golf today, like to be winning that many tournaments by that margin is insane. He was 160 under for 36 rounds and averaged a staggering 67.33. He was over par in just 1 of his 36 rounds. Even par in 2 others, under par in 33, and 10 times he shot 65 or better. I mean,
his scoring average was under 68. Like, just
video game numbers.
Yeah, video game numbers.
Keep it moving, anyways.
It's just a crazy wild comment. I did not have that one on my bingo card for 2025. I kind of figured that Bubba had a certain level of respect for Tiger in that sense, for something like that. Like, everybody regards the 2000 season as kind of the gold standard. And Scotty had a great season. Don't get me wrong. He truly had an amazing season for the modern era in golf like that, to have that many wins and go through everything that he went through at the PGA and all that. He had a great year. But as we kind of discussed, we don't really feel there's a debate there.
Meanwhile, the last time Bubba shot 68 on the PGA Tour was in 2021. And I know he doesn't play a full schedule, but he still plays a couple of the majors, and he ain't touching 68 in that. So just keep it pushing, Bubba.
Yeah. All right. Let's bring in Ryan from JT Legion. So, hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys.
Ryan is from JT Legion, and a bunch of you guys are probably familiar with his account. He does a great job tracking Justin Thomas for Nuclear. And JT obviously was a part of the Atlanta Drive team that won the TGL season finale last week. So we're bringing in Ryan to just talk a little bit about the TGL finish, as well as JT's expectations for this year. Obviously, hopes are high for some better performances in the majors this year. So Ryan, welcome in. Say what's up. How's it going tonight?
Hey, guys. Doing great. Hope you guys are. Been enjoying the conversation so far. Especially that last one with the bubble comment.
we lost Tim for a second. And I thought we were going to go off the rails because Tim has been ready to go off.
I was so mad.
He's been ready. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, you guys brought it for sure on that. It was good. Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. The TGL season this year was super cool. This was obviously a new adventure for everybody. You know, a year delayed. But I think that's been a great thing that it was a year delayed, as we can all see. And then for Atlanta Drive to win it all, I mean, it was really cool. I mean, I thought that they, you know, I thought a ton of guys brought a ton of energy to the league, but with the Billy Ho and the JT and all that, you know, I thought that, I thought they really brought it, and especially, you know, down the stretch, It was really fun. I was very excited.
They definitely had the most personality of the league, right? Like, oh, that team, sure. And especially with a team that includes Patrick Cantlay. I can't believe I'm even saying that, but like Billy Ho and JT brought it. And I'm an Atlanta guy, right? Like, I live just a little bit outside of Atlanta, so I was all the way down with that. Although I think it's kind of crazy that's really, I know we won the MLS Cup a couple years back, but to think that that's a big trophy that Arthur Blank got to hold is a little wild to those of us who live in Atlanta. But yeah, that was exciting to watch.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And you know, I feel like towards the end, at least in the playoffs, they brought out, you know, all of the Atlanta stars with Penix and Vic and everybody else. And it was super cool. So yeah, I know you're an ATL guy, Hutch. So I know you were happy to see that and happy to see it come home. And you know, when the trophy turns red at the end, that's always kind of nice.
Yeah.
And they get to stay that way for a year. So yeah, it was really cool, man. And I really enjoyed watching it. And I really got into the finals. You know, and as far as like the league goes, you know, you hear so much, you know, there's a lot of positive, there's a lot of negative. It's all about, you know, the views and what ratings it got and all that. But, you know, I think for the first year of TGO, I think this was a pretty huge success. Are there things they could tweak? Yes, for sure. And, you know, them changing the hammer rule was, I honestly, my opinion, I think it saved the league, to be honest. I think if we would have kept going on and on with guys just holding their hammers the whole round, you know, I think it would have been bad, especially for our guys. I mean, Atlanta Drive won the most hammers. They lost the least amount of hammers. They had double the amount of points on hammer wins. So, I mean, that kind of propelled them.
Which is crazy, because when you hear Atlanta, you don't think clutch at all.
You do not. You do not. Oddly, you hear 28-3 in your mind. But, you know, and I'm not a New England guy. Don't get me wrong, Hutch. I'm with you. I'm not a New England guy.
Listen, that was the worst day of my life.
It was a bad day. It was a bad day. But yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was a cool team game. It was really cool to see the guys, like all the teams, the camaraderie. I would like a lot more hot mic experiences. Mm-hmm. I get it. They're over ESPN airwaves, so it is a little harder to do that. But thoroughly enjoyed the season.
One of the tweaks for next year, I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't mind if they were just drinking during it. That'd be cool. I think it would loosen them up a bit more. There's some guys that could use that a little bit more than others, obviously. Like we see the emotion though out of a guy like Billy Horschel there in the finale. And I mean, what a moment that was. That's one of the best moments in the entire league for the whole season. Yeah. He just really got fired up. It was a big putt at the time. And then JT was into it as well. Like not going to be that guy that compares TGL to the Ryder Cup or anything like that, but you could see the fire in those two guys when that putt dropped, right? It's a little bit of a preview to come for the Ryder Cup with JT. And looking ahead to the schedule ahead here, Ryan, we've seen some glimpses lately of JT. Obviously, he came close at the Valspar there. He was in the hunt late. I mean, there were some other guys that obviously just played a little bit better down the stretch. But, I mean, JT's putter was good coming in. He just couldn't get it done. What are you looking forward to for this year? What are your expectations? And do you think we're going to see Justin Thomas return to the winner's circle relatively soon?
I do. You know, I think at the beginning of the year, coming off of the way that he was playing in the fall, I thought that, you know, I thought 2025 was going to be a big year for JT, and I still do think so. You know, the Valspar, that really hurt, really stung, you know, with a 3-shot lead. It's not like he gave it away. I mean, Victor played really well, birdieing, you know, a couple of holes, you know, in the snake pit. But at the same time, you know, maybe a couple of club decisions on 16 or, you know, and 18, like maybe we don't pull driver there, but I'm not one to second guess. He knows what he feels comfortable with. But I definitely think that JT's trending in the right direction. For me, it's like he goes as his putter goes. Short game, I'm trying not to be biased. I don't think there's a better set of hands on tour around the greens, but as far as he just goes as far as his putter goes, and if he's putting it well, and statistics actually say that he's putting it pretty well. Sometimes when you're tracking or watching, it doesn't feel that way because you see so many putts that, you know, the average person doesn't see. You see all of them, so that's a little tough. But I said at the beginning of the year, I put it out there, you know, I thought this was a 2 to 3 year win season for JT, with a very good potential of picking off a major. And you know, he's going back to Quail Hollow at the PGA Tour this year, where he's won before. I'll be there, thank God, to actually see it. So that, you know, I truly think that he has a potential for a couple of wins this year and possibly a major if he just keeps trending.
Yeah, JT's last win obviously was the 2022 PGA. He's already got 2 runner-up finishes this season, and he's got 4 top tens, right? He was second at the Amex, he was T6 in Phoenix, he was T9 at Genesis, and then he was second at the Valspar. So it seems like it's just a matter of time for him, and obviously would be amazing if he could put it all together at a major again. At an event other than just a PGA championship as well, right? His wins come at the PGA. It would be great if he could get it going at an Augusta or at a US Open or even an Open Championship. That'd be cool because his wins have come at the PGA, right? He's got two major wins at the PGA. So it'll be interesting to see how he kind of goes forward here in the events to come.
He's too talented to not win, and he's too talented to go 3 years without a win. So it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just been tough. You know, it's kind of like, you know, him and Jordan kind of have went through a little bit of a period where, you know, they just needed to find their game again. And, you know, I truly think JT's back on the right track. I have no hesitancies in saying that. It's just he's just got to putt well, and he's just got to go out there with confidence. I mean, when he shot 63 at the Players, like, that's a guy who he was never second guessing a club choice. He walked up, he hit it, he knew what he wanted to do. And if we could just see that more often where he's playing golf instead of playing golf swing, like, I like, to be honest, like, I think that's when he's most comfortable, when he's just not thinking about anything in his mechanics.
He wasn't second guessing except for that one he put in the water.
That's also true. Yeah, that's
but that was, you're right. That was a hell of a round. That was, and he's had a crazy, the run, like John was reading off his finishes so far this year, the run has been great. It's just building up. You can't play like that and keep building up and building and building and building and not get a win. He'll get one.
Yeah.
And it's going to be good to see, because he definitely deserves it.
Yeah. I mean, golf is better when JT along with Jordan are winning golf tournaments. Like, golf is better.
Yep.
It's got to be a group effort to carry it without Tiger, and he's certainly one of the core guys that does that.
Yeah, for sure.
Ryan, before we let you go, it's been awesome having you on. Just tell the viewers where people can follow you and what you do on your account, if you don't mind.
Yeah, you can follow me at JT Legion on X. I track JT as absolute most as possible as I can. You know, pretty much every round, you'll get to see updates, highlights. Anything to do with JT on off the course, you know, we promote as much as we can with him. The account's growing nicely, and we definitely appreciate all the followers and look forward to a ton more.
Well, Ryan, thanks so much for coming on. It's been awesome to talk to you. I'm sure you'll be ATL, back Ryan. On the podcast. I'm sure you'll be back on the pod again.
Yep, after a win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got it, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Have a good one. Later. See ya. That was awesome. Obviously great to speak with some of the team members on Nuclear, some of our trackers and guys that work really hard day in, day out to get the updates out for these players. I want to pivot a little bit here to Jim Nantz. He actually was speaking with Bunkered Magazine about his future in broadcasting. He said that he is targeting a retirement from the Masters in 2036. So 10 years away. So it's not happening yet. This will actually mark the 100th anniversary of the tournament, and I believe it will be the 51st broadcast that he's done at the Masters, his 51st call of the Masters. Here's some quotes real quick. If all the stars align, right now it feels like a pretty good exit point. April 14th, 2036. That is my scheduled retirement date. It would be a perfect place to walk out. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get to that year and I'm going to say, you know what, maybe I could do this for a while longer. We have broadcasters over here that have gone on well into their 80s. So that's one of those wait and sees, I guess. So Jim Nantz is obviously giving people a little bit of insight into his future plans. I mean, 10 years down the line, he's talking about maybe hanging up the mic at Augusta, but it's just really hard to see it. If you want to ask me, he seems like one of those guys that's going to be doing it for a very, very long time. I mean, he's still relatively young, right? Like is he in his 60s?
Yeah. 65.
Yeah.
I mean, what
if he does that, he will have called more than half of the Masters.
Yeah,
probably more than that, because I'm imagining the first few weren't broadcast. So I don't know how many exactly have been broadcast, but for him to call 51 of them, that's because he's on 40 this year. This is his 40th.
Wow.
And you can't, like, that's, I know that's not Tim's whole life, but that's all of our, me, Mike, and John, all of our whole lives. Like, he's been the voice of the Masters for our whole lives.
Oh, Tim shoot.
Probably remembers the first Masters broadcast.
I do.
He was there.
Well, he's had such a career. I mean, he does football,
1947.
NCAA, you know, countless Final Fours that he retired from, and the Masters and CBS and all the other major, the PGA. Yeah. But like, he's had some legendary calls. Like, he's had such good intuition. I first started really paying attention to golf in 1986 when Jack Nicklaus won the Masters, and he was doing hole number 16 at the time. Jack hit it to like 3 feet, and his comment was, "The Bears come out of hibernation." I mean, you hear that all the time. Like, that's, it's a staple. And then 1997, I remember this I'll remember this one like it was yesterday, because it was like he knew Tiger was going to be Tiger before we all did. On Friday, Tiger holed about a 25-foot eagle putt on the 13th hole. And at 5:31 Eastern time, he said, on this Friday, April 11th, Tiger takes the lead for the first time at the Masters. He goes, let the record show. He goes, I just had a feeling the moment should be marked. like how many?
5:31.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been so fortunate. And he's a really cool guy. I met him at the 2019 U.S. Open. He was signing books in one of the tents. And before Tiger teed off, I went over there and talked to him for a bit. He's just a chill guy. So to have a career like that, to be able to do all the sports, all the golf, I mean, I totally see him as someone who, when he gets to 75, is like, you know what? Maybe I don't need football anymore. Don't need basketball. I'll do golf for another 5 or 10 years. That's pretty easy.
I think it's funny though, because he's such a good steward for Augusta too. Like he kind of had a little humble brag in there too, where he was like, everything has to go perfectly, and that includes Augusta National wanting me back every year. we're gonna get younger. You gotta go. No, they're not going to – come on now.
No.
I know Mike's got a soft spot for him, though, because he calls football games with Mike's hero, Tony Romo.
Yeah, that's my guy, yeah. I mean, when you think of, you know, Augusta National, you think of the Masters Tournament, that's one of the first names that pops into your head, Jim Nance. I mean, he just has one of the best voices to announce anything. Like, I think of all the legendary calls. Like, I mean, you think of, you know, all of the Masters Tiger's been a part of. I mean, 2019 comes to mind. That's obviously a huge one. You know, the return to glory. I mean, it just gives me chills just thinking about it, you know. So I'm glad that he gave us a bit of a heads up. I mean, obviously, you know, we don't live forever, but, you know, I wish Jim Nance could call the Masters forever. He's just the perfect man to be calling that tournament.
Did you guys see Jim Nance joined in the Cougars Final Four celly at the March Madness there?
Yep.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He's a huge Houston Cougars fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's just been so many memorable moments. I mean, it's not just the calls that Jim's been on for these major moments in golf, but it's also just the way he handles certain situations as well. There's been numerous times on broadcast, some difficult situations that require a lot of care in the way you say certain things, you know, sensitive issues. And sometimes in those moments, Jim, he just handles it with so much class and grace. And you think about it and it's just like, I can't see another sportscaster being able to say this in the way that this guy is saying it, right? Like he's so good at conveying his thoughts, and it all sounds and seems so natural as well when he's saying it. Just incredible. Jim Nance, what a career it's been. And hopefully, I mean, he's just in 10 years, he's just like, nope, I'm going to keep going for another 10.
Yeah. I mean,
this could be like one of the plenty retirement plans that we've heard of in the past that even if that's the only thing he does, I just don't see. I mean, his health has got to be good, right? He'll be 75 or close to 76 at the time. So that may present some challenges, but we'll see. I mean, he's certainly the guy for it. He is the Masters as far as TV coverage goes. He is the Masters. And then there's a question of who would replace him, which is an impossible task. So
no one.
We're thankfully 10 years away from that.
Yeah. Is AI hopefully. It?
AI Jim Nance. Yeah.
I mean, who's gonna say hello friends?
Like hello Jim friends, Nance? Yeah.
Absolutely no one.
Yeah.
No, for sure. It wouldn't be the same without him. Speaking of the Masters, a couple of field updates that I just want to get into briefly. We won't spend too long on it, but Angel Cabrera is making his return to the Masters. He actually, as you guys know, he's coming off some time spent in prison. He had visa issues last year, so he couldn't actually play the tournament, but he's given some quotes to the Daily Mail about his return to the Masters. 2009 Masters champion Cabrera reflects on his time behind bars as he prepares to tee it up at Augusta. He said, quote, "I was sleeping on some pieces of cloth on a bed that was basically cement. I was locked in with someone else, so we were too locked down there. My manager would bring different golf magazines. It was nice because I was able to see what's going on in golf and have this feeling that I was in touch with a sport that I love so much. Gary Player sent me a letter, and that was very nice of him. And also Ernie L sent me his best several times through acquaintances that I know. Right now, I'm fine, but I regret everything that I have done wrongly in my past, and I'm also frustrated that I dumped very, very important years of my life. I made mistakes." He said, "I can tell you the most important thing I feel right now is the second chance, the opportunity to get back on the right track." So that's a guy that's been through some stuff, and he is going to be playing in the Masters, obviously, past champion at the event. And it'll be good to see Angel teeing it up. You know, some people might not agree with the decision to even allow him to play, but as a past champion, that's kind of his right. What are you guys' thoughts?
It's definitely his right. The thing I take issue with in that statement he put out about sleeping on a concrete floor or whatever he said with just a blanket, that's nobody's fault but his, right? And we're none of us are here to make light of domestic violence or anything like that. Like, that's obviously a really terrible stuff that he allegedly did or got found guilty of or whatever it was. I don't have any sympathy for him on that. But with that said, he did do his time. He has earned the right to play there as a past champion for as long as he wants or whatnot. So good for him. Welcome back. The tour is better when you got Angel Cabrera walking down the fairways, ripping cigarettes, just balling out usually. I like the golfer. I was shocked by the story when it came out all those years ago, but I really just keep going back to him trying to get a sympathy or pity or whatever it was in that statement for the conditions that he was living in prison. Okay, just don't go to prison. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it. I don't feel bad for him at all about that, but it is going to be good to see him back at Augusta.
Yeah, I don't have any sympathy in regards to anybody that's, you know, guilty of domestic violence, you know, as a husband and a dad to two little girls. You know, that definitely, you know, I take hearing those things very seriously. But I also am a big advocate of second chances too. And he sounds remorseful, and I hope that's where his heart truly is. And I hope he makes the best of this second chance. And I definitely think golf's better when El Pato's out there, you know, ripping the cigs, like you said, Hutch. I've loved watching him growing up as a kid. I'm still angry at him that he beat Tiger at the 07 US Open at Oakmont. That's one of the ones that I still think about. I'm like, hey, should have 16, should have 17, you know. But yeah, you know, I have definitely excited to see him back, and you know, hopefully makes the best of this second chance.
He has a sense of humor. Then he should tee it up on Thursday wearing all orange.
if the Masters committee has a sense of humor, they should pair him with Scotty Scheffler.
If only Tiger was there too,
right? Yeah, the
other man, I don't know what you're talking about.
the other quick field update that we got to mention is Bernhard Langer. He's actually going to be competing in his final Masters. This will be his last Masters. He admitted that winning is not realistic for him, but he does still have the goal of playing the weekend. Those quotes were given to the Palm Spring Desert Sun in an interview with Bernhard Langer. I mean, Bernhard's had a hell of a career, obviously. Champions Tour, all-time winner, right? So just an incredible career, and I guess he's decided that this is kind of it for him at the Masters. I mean, it comes a point where you're just kind of not able to compete in the same way that you once were, right? And this guy's a true competitor. So it makes sense that this is his final time around Augusta National. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, won multiple Masters, was 85 and 93. I mean, World Golf Hall of Fame member, you know, and obviously his career on the Champions Tour is just impeccable. You know, 10-time Champions Tour Player of the Year, and then he won 42 times on the European circuit. So, I mean, props to him on a fabulous career. And, you know, it's a shame he can't play from the father and son PNC tees, because he'd probably be on the front page, the first page of leaderboard on Sunday.
Hutch, I just want to get your opinion on something. We got to move to the Masters coverage. I know you saw the post earlier today about the fact that Augusta announced that they're going to be doing a live on the range feed. Every shot of every player is going to be shown on the range. I mean, no other tournament would have anything like that, right?
With the stats, also
gonna
too.
The stats, they're going to have the swing speed data. They're going to have the wind speed. They're going to have driving distance for any player. It's going to be live, and you're also going to be able to go back and watch the replay of each guy's warm-up session on the range beginning on Monday of Masters Week, which is just incredible. I'm sure you guys will be tuned into this. This is just another one of those examples of what sets the Masters tournament apart from everyone else. You know, while the PGA Tour still doesn't have the every shot live thing figured out, the Masters has every shot live on the range, every shot live on the course for all four rounds of every player. This is just Augusta.
It feels like something we would have killed for, like from 2016 to 2019-ish, to see how our boy was moving, if he was limber, if his back was tight, if anything like that was going on.
Absolutely.
We would have killed for that back then. But yeah, it's going to be good. The Masters is just above the rest. And I think it's cool that they're expanding their TV coverage this year too a little bit. So it's fine. That's for years was my only gripe with the Masters, was that it wasn't on TV enough. And you had to watch it online, but now everything's streaming and they're extending it a little bit. So it's going to be great. I mean, I can't wait for next week. It's the best week of the year, in my opinion, aside from any week that Tiger wins.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you guys have the app downloaded yet?
I never leave.
Day one, son.
It's one of the only golf apps I leave on my phone all year long.
You got to delete it so you can feel that rush when you bring it back in. I guess you can feel it when they do the update, but you got to bring it back in.
Mm-hmm. I feel the rush when they start playing the commercials on November, December.
In December?
you're like, sweet. Four months away.
That in December. I'm going to tell you what, though. The pollen here is out of control, so anybody who's got allergies is going to have problems next week. Like the pollen count in Atlanta was the highest by 60% that it's ever been. I'm sure
but it's like 14,000 or something.
14,000, yeah.
Yeah.
It was 58% higher than it had ever been in history of the state. It was ridiculous on Saturday. The second highest day was Sunday.
Tiger's allergies are terrible too.
Well, you wouldn't let that stop him from winning though.
Yeah. No, for sure. We got to talk a little quickly about the LIV event. They're going to be doing a creator focused competition at the Doral event this week. So they've announced creator focused competition with Scramble Team. So it's going to be Sergio and George Bryan, Bubba and Luke Kwan, Joaquin Neiman and Rick Shields, Mickelson and Horvat, DJ and Wesley Bryan, Cam Smith and Fat Perez. Now, this is not going to be streamed on the LIV YouTube channel. It's going to be exclusively on Grant Horvat's channel. So that's a little bit interesting, and I think that might be kind of a loophole, that's kind of how Wesley Bryan, I think, was able to actually participate in this. Because I if this was just an event, I think the marketing is done obviously with LIV, but if this was broadcast through like LIV channels, I don't know if the PGA Tour would have been okay with that release. And obviously he did get the release. So it'll be interesting to see, but are you guys tuning in for something like this, or just kind of something you'll keep your eye on social media? Or
yeah. I'm in.
I'm definitely watching. Yeah. I'm a big Luke Kwan guy. I got to play with him during COVID, during 2020, and we were at this course called Water Chase in the Fort Worth area. And this was at the point when he was still playing professionally. Like he was, you know, Korn Ferry tour guy. And at the time, you know, I thought I was playing pretty decent. You know, I shot even par for the front nine. We were playing from the tips too, and it's decently long course, you know, probably 7,100 yards from the tips. And he goes out and birdies. He's either 7 or 8 of the first 9 holes. And I was just in complete awe. And I'm like, you do this every day? He's like, I'm going to admit I'm playing pretty good right now. I'm like, God almighty. I thought I was balling out, you know, even par. I'm like, I'm feeling good about myself. And then he's just tearing this course a new one. I'm like, this is stupid. But yeah,
he's,
I'm definitely.
He's paired with Bubba, so I hope they get last.
Yeah. I kind of wish he wasn't with Bubba, but I'm definitely pulling for Luke, though.
I'm a big Liv guy. I'm in. It's going to be great to watch.
Yeah. So like I said, it's going to be on Grant's YouTube channel. There's actually a $250,000 purse, which is the biggest purse ever for a golf creator event, apparently. It's a 9-hole scramble. Each team has one pro, one content guy. They play from the better ball, see who has the lowest score when it's all said and done. So it's a fun piece of content, something that we'll keep an eye on and tune into a little bit. It's kind of like the Creator Classic, right? It's like I was kind of dipping in and out of it. I found I wasn't watching it for the entire time, but it's cool content, and I'm glad to see, you know, Liv and the PGA Tour both trying new things. It's about time that they embrace the influencers that have these massive audiences.
The cool part's going to be the announced crew they've got.
Who do they got?
Because they've got Mason Nutt, they've got Joey Colcuts and Bobby Fairways doing it, and they've got the Andrew Santino, that comedian that's in Dave.
Hilarious.
It's gonna be really good. Incredible to watch that. Just the whole thing is gonna be great. I can't wait for it,
for sure. We'll keep an eye on it. Let's get on to the viral video of the week. So this should be a fun one. This is a huge video that we posted. It's been all over the internet, not just on our account. It did 5.6 million views this week. It's the Tiger versus Jack breakdown of who had the better career. Joey, if we could put that video up right now, be awesome. Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Working on a mystery, going wherever it leads. Running down a dream. I felt so good, like anything was possible. So obviously lots of check marks beside Jack Nicklaus's name there. Tim, I'm sure you have an opinion on this as well.
Oh man, two of the best players I've ever seen, ever. I mean, I could not disagree with somebody who said it was Jack, and I could not disagree with someone who said it was Tiger. And it doesn't matter your age, to be honest with you. Like, if you were fortunate enough to watch Jack play, I mean, he was Tiger just 30 years earlier. He was so good. I mean, he could hit the ball anywhere. And the fact that he finished second 19 times is stupid. Like, he could have won 30-something majors if you think about it. Like, that's absurd. It doesn't matter the era you played in, but that's just absurd to even think about. And it's just really interesting to me too how their careers paralleled. Like, Jack won when he was 46 in 1986. Tiger won 2019 after a while not winning a major. I mean, he's got 18, he's got 15. It just, the careers were so parallel. I just, if Tiger wasn't so injured, I guarantee
that list is so. It feels like they're just nitpicking stats. Like, I tweeted the other day that I saw that and I was like, oh, Jack is the GOAT at being the first loser. Like, who cares who got more second places? Who cares? It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is wins. Does he have more wins? Yeah, but okay, that's great. Does he have more PGA Tour wins? No. Who cares how many more seconds he's got? How many more top fives he's got? It doesn't matter. To me, there's no difference between second and 50th. It doesn't matter. You didn't win. The only thing that matters is winning. So, and I got a little heat when I said that from some people, but the
as you should.
I almost won arguments are just so dumb to me. I almost won. Okay. You didn't win though. So I'm not trying to discredit Jack at all, like at all. Obviously great player, one of the greatest ever, if not the greatest ever, although I think it's Tiger. I'm a little biased. The fact that we take second places and top fives and kind of factor that in, to me, is just crazy. Because when you're talking about as many wins as they both have, that should really be the only thing that matters is wins. And I don't know how anybody could say seconds matter, because they just, to me, they just don't.
Yeah, it's, you both make good points. I mean, I definitely see both sides of the coin. I mean, I definitely want to give Jack his credit. I feel like he's underrated in today's day and age, because, you know, most of the media pushes Tiger, and rightfully so. I love Tiger. Obviously, he's my guy. But we were definitely robbed with Tiger's career. You know, I mean, we can go back to, you know, 2009 Thanksgiving, and you could really pinpoint that particular moment. And that's when, you know, his game started to derail a bit. You know, he started going to a different swing coach, and, you know, it took him for a while to get back. So, I mean, I think Tiger played the best golf, but, you know, the numbers are pretty, pretty impressive for Jack. He ended up having more majors, and, you know, that's what I
think.
Tiger
did all that while juggling 19 girlfriends, and people don't talk about that. That is very impressive. Like the time management that it took from him to juggle 19 different women. I can barely handle one, and I play golf once a week. This guy is the greatest ever, and he's got 19. I mean, come on. Give him credit.
That we know of.
Yeah, that's right. 19 and came forward. Give him credit.
I just don't know. Yes. I just don't know how you discredit 19 second place finishes. Like there's absolutely a comparison between second and 50th. Like the paycheck, you want to look at someone's bank account, that'll tell you the difference between second and 50th right there. You don't even need to go any further than that.
Sometimes money doesn't have anything to do with the GOAT.
Golf. Sometimes in golf, it's not always about winning. You still get Ryder Cup points. You still accrue points by finishing second, okay, and not 50th.
But in those arguments, nobody says this is how many career Ryder Cup points he's had.
It's just going to show you how impressive his record was. Like his record was not I placed 50th 19 times. His record was I was the runner up 19 times in majors, not regular golf tournaments, in the most important golf tournaments that golfers play for. There's four of them. There's the British, there's the Masters, the US Open, and there's the PGA. And the fact that somebody finished first or second 37 times is absurd. It just is.
Another thing that we have
new record another thing is 72 and 331. I mean, come on.
Like, Hutch, sorry, Hutch. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. It's irritating.
Yeah. Another thing that we don't even talk about too is like results on the course versus like transcending the game are two completely different discussions. And like a lot of people say like Tiger is the GOAT because of what he did to change the sport of golf. And that's just a whole other conversation. That's neither here nor there, and we'll get into that on another week's episode. It's been an amazing one, fellas. We had so much to talk about this week.
That was great, guys.
One thing I do want to point out is that the Nuclear Golf Podcast is now available on other podcast platforms. So you can find the Nuclear Golf Podcast on Apple Podcasts, you can find it on Spotify Podcasts, and you can find it on Amazon Music. We're going on all three of them right now. So after the live show concludes each Monday night, it'll be uploaded to our platforms and it should be available within the next hour or two. So if you don't want to catch the show live on X, we encourage you guys to join us live on X every Monday night at 8 to 8:30 p.m. Still nailing down what time that's going to be each week, but you'll also be able to find the pod on those platforms as well. And before we shut her down for tonight, Valero Texas Open is this week. Who's your guys' picks?
I picked to watch the Masters next week.
On to the Masters.
There might as well not be a tournament this week. Although, is Ricky playing to try to get in?
Ludwig's playing. Keegan Bradley is playing. Burns is playing. Berger is playing. Is there any other big names? I mean, some guys like to play the week before Augusta, and some guys just like to completely shut it down, right? It's just
Jordan playing.
Jordan,
Spieth.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
Interesting. I missed a couple of the Texas swing tournaments.
Yeah, no, for sure. I guess we'll see. I mean, some lower tier guys definitely playing this week, so I'm not sure if you guys have picks or not. You'd really have to dig into the field to kind of pick a guy this week. I mean, Ludvig is one of the favorites going into Augusta. I've seen him on kind of the top five kind of list for picks going into Augusta, so be interesting to see. Maybe he finds his game this week going into the season's first major.
Definitely, Keegan. Yeah. I liked it.
So I'm told Jordan is playing.
Oh, he is?
Okay. All right. I'll roll with Spieth then. I think he's going to figure something out this week. He's won the Valero, has he not?
He's won the Valero.
He's won everything but the Byron Nelson for the Texas tournaments.
Yeah, was the Valero not like – was that like his PGA Tour win, like his first win? Was it the Valero? It was in Texas, was it not?
No, it was because you remember when he had that chip in from the bunker?
Yeah.
John Deere.
Playoff? John Deere.
John Deere. Yep. Yeah. It's been a while, fellas.
Yeah, it's 2013.
Give me Gary Woodland.
All right, I like it.
Gary's teeing it up.
That's what our number one in our hearts, Brent, is telling me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm cheering for Gary this week.
Yeah, I'm cheering for him too.
Brent would know. Yeah. Brent's got the knowledge on that kind of stuff.
Brent is in the know.
I'm going to go with Gary Woodland on this because I love that. Really wanted it that last week badly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, fellas. Well, it's been an amazing episode. We're going to wrap it up here. Like I said, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search for Nuclear Golf Podcast and it will be available. As always, thanks to you guys for showing up and having a great conversation. Huge thanks to Swingzy for sponsoring today's episode. And we will see you guys next week on Masters Monday.
Woo-hoo, yeah.
Can't wait. Just remember, Tim, if you ain't first, you're last.
Just remember, is Tiger teaming up next week?
Pain.
All right, fellas. Have a great night. We'll see you guys in the next episode of the Nuclear Golf Podcast.